Well, good morning, everyone. Always good to see you, and it's such a pleasure to get to serve you. It's just a blessing to get to teach the Word anyway. It's very honorable, so thank you so much. Well, the message today is our last part of a series that we've been teaching a while. I don't know if you guys remember, but last week and the week before, we've been teaching on how to wait on God. How to wait on God. And today is part five, and it's practical application. So it says here, the past several weeks, we have discussed six steps that help us wait on God for answers. Today, we're going to take those six steps and walk through them using practical daily applications in three important areas. We will take examples for healing, financial increase, and a peaceful and whole mind. And we're going to demonstrate how to put the Word of God into practice in these three areas. So let's dive in. We're going to take the scriptures to line up with what we want, and we're going to apply them. So, you know, we teach a lot. You know, we tell you you've got to put the Word of God to work. But you know what? I think sometimes we need to just see it in action. So that's what we're going to do today. And these three areas I chose are the ones that most of us need a little bit of help with, right? They're usually the things we're most concerned with, which is our health. Everybody's concerned with your health, right? Certainly we're concerned with our financial state. We need to make ends meet, don't we? My mom used to always say that I'm making ends meet. But you know what? The Lord wants us to more than just make ends meet. So we're going to see His principle here. And finally, the third principle we're going to look at is our wholeness or peace of mind. And that includes things like having anxiety. Anybody ever had anxiety? Anybody ever been depressed? Been a little down? Fearful? These all constitute having a whole peaceful mind. So we're going to look at these three today, and I'm going to be the guinea pig, and I'm going to show you how to apply it. Now remember, we live under grace, don't we? We live under the grace of God. So these are just principles that we do. We just take the Word of God and we put it to work. And that's what we're teaching you here. Just taking the Word of God and putting it to work. So here we see our examples today. Number one, healing. Number two, financial increase. Number three, peace of mind. So we're going to start with example one. And as we look at example one, then we're going to go to the steps. If you look on the second page, we start on the steps. So we're going to do example one, then go through the steps of it. Then we're going to do example two, listed up here, and we'll go through the six steps of that. And then we'll do example three and go through those six steps, okay? So starting with example one, healing. Anybody ever need a healing? Boy, oh boy, we all want to be well, don't we? Yes, I do. So we take a heal. It says, notice here, I have healing. Then I have a little arrow that says scripture. The scripture is the seed. And finally, then we follow the steps. Now remember, the seed is the Word of God. That's not the teaching today, but how many of you know the parable of the seed? Remember the teaching on the parable of the seed? The seed was the Word of God, Jesus said. And the seed is planted into the heart of man. You're the heart of man. So what kind of soil did you have? Do you have rocky soil? Soil that, you know, hears the Word and it springs up, but the rocks keep it out. That means the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of sins and the love of other things, the news and what the world is telling us, it just totally blinds us from receiving the Word. But we don't need to have rocky soil. We need to have good soil. So as we go through these steps, this is how we get good soil. Now remember, seeds come in all forms. So we're going to start out here with the seed of healing. And we're going to look at the example of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And I want to say something here about Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet. Everybody knows he was a prophet, right? He was a prophet, and he prophesied about Jesus 700 years before Christ. 700 years. And here's what he said. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, he says, surely he, meaning Jesus, took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him Jesus, punished by God, stricken by God, and afflicted. But Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus. And by Jesus' wounds, we are healed. Now that's a strong prophecy, but that was a prophecy that Isaiah made about Jesus, that he himself would take our, on the cross, he would take our wounds and our sicknesses and our sufferings so that by the wounds that he took, you and I are healed. Now let's look at this next scripture, Matthew 8:17. And Matthew was quoting Isaiah. He said this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He, Jesus, took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Now, when Matthew said this, Jesus had just been healing. He came to heal all who were oppressed and of the devil. He healed all sickness and disease. So Matthew is just quoting Isaiah, which said this is what Isaiah said 700 years ago, that when he came, he would do these things. He would take your sickness. He would take your disease. Jesus took our illnesses. He bore our diseases. And finally, 1 Peter 2:24, one of my favorites. I use it all the time. He himself, meaning Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his, or Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You are healed. Now, we're looking at the scripture here, right? This is what the Word of God says. Now, I can read it to you, and I did, didn't I? But in order to get it inside of you, you've got to take this home. You've got to read through these, and you say, well, I've read these. I know what they say. You might know what they say up here in your mind, but you got them in your heart, inside. You got to go home and read these. You got to make these so real to you. You got to eat this Word of God and just continue to just eat and indulge in it and read these scriptures over and over till you know that you know that you know that no matter what anybody says to you, you got it in here. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report is. It doesn't matter how you feel, the symptoms in your body. This has to become more real. Scripture has to become more real. It has to become more real than your problem. And that's where it all begins. So let's look at step number one. Step number one, on the following page, it says, we must make up our minds and tell our entire being we are going to wait on God and expect results. We must decide to put our hope in the Word. We must decide to trust God. Make the decision and stick with it. Now, what does that mean? That means that these scriptures that we just read, which came directly out of God's Word, we must decide to trust those scriptures. The scripture is God. The scripture is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So when you read the scripture, you're reading God. So here in step one, when we say you must trust God, you must decide to put our hope in the Word. The word hope means to expect. It means expectation. It means to expect something to happen. That means you have to learn to take the scripture, read the scripture, meditate on the scripture, mutter it over and over and over again until it gets inside of you and believe it. That's step one. Because you know what? If you don't do that, then all the rest of it is all in vain. It will not work for you if you don't take the scripture and meditate on it and make it so real to you and believe it. Know that you believe it. The only one who can make yourself believe it is you. So step one, that's what we do. So what we do is we take one of these scriptures. Okay, well, I'm going to take, Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. Or you might take another one. Or you might combine them all together. You can change them up a little bit to make the words fit with you. So you take one of these scriptures and you decide that it's the truth. And I say, Lord, let's take a sickness. Now, all of you have something, or you may have had something, or you're going to have a symptom. Guess what? When the symptom comes, that's when you put the Word of God to work. Right then. Right when the symptom comes. In fact, immediately when the symptom comes, you should be saying no. We're going to show you this. Let's go on here. So you take the scripture, you decide, make a decision, you're going to believe it. And I have noticed a little tilde next to step one. I put a scripture next to that because I think it's important to have a scripture to back up the step. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So if you take that sickness that you have, maybe it's depression, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's arthritis. I don't know what it is. For me, it was MS. So you take that sickness and you say, no, I won't receive that. Yes, the doctor says it. Sure, the reports might show it. But that's not what my God said, that I could receive healing. Jesus went to the cross. He bore my sickness and disease. So I'm standing against that, and I'm saying I choose to believe God's word over how I feel and over what the doctor said. Now, mind you, in my case, it was a period of time for me to receive my healing. It took a period of approximately 3 years or so. Continually believing God. Step two, we must now place the request before God, not worry about it again. We cannot be anxious, we cannot fret, and we cannot take the matter into our own hands again. We're on step two, and then the back of the page. The scripture I put with that is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, when you get a report from your doctor, immediately what you do in step one is you take the scripture. Yes, the doctor said that. Okay, admittedly, that may be the fact. But the truth, the divine truth, is God's scripture. So the doctor says you've got cancer. But the Lord says here in 1 Peter 2:24 that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So this is a part I would say, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. So even though the doctor said this, no, now I'm going to say this. Lord, you told me that by your stripes I was healed. You prophesied through the prophet Isaiah, and you said that Jesus was wounded for my transgression, crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was on him, and by his stripes and his wounds I was healed. Therefore, Lord, I choose to believe that. Now, this is my discussion with the Lord at the first sign of something. Therefore, Lord, I choose to believe that. I've made the decision. It starts with a decision. You know, here is a key to the kingdom. If you don't make a decision to decide to believe God's word, then you know what you're going to be? James says you're going to be like the waves, driven with the wind and tossed to and fro. When you're like that, the Lord says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Being double-minded means halfway believing the world and halfway believing the Lord. You can't do it. You got to stick with one or the other. If you're lukewarm, Jesus said at the end, like with salvation, if you're lukewarm, he says he'll spit you out. So make a decision to believe. So now I say this. Now step three, I've made the decision. I've committed it to the Lord. And step three, we must stop making great effort to carry on the conflict. You cannot go on about it any longer. Stop dramatizing your situations to others and stop discussing it. Now, this is a tough one for a lot of people. You want to talk about your problems. You want somebody to talk to. You have someone to talk to. Yourself. And you know what you tell yourself? I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Cancer, you have no right in this body. In the name of Jesus, by the stripes Jesus took on the cross, I was healed. So cancer, you wither up, you dry up, you die, you leave my flesh in Jesus' name. That's how you talk about your problem. You tell your problem about the Word of God. You tell your problem the Scripture. And then when you talk to your friends, you know what you say? When they ask you about how you feel, you say, well, you know what? I got a report from the doctor, but I believe God's word. He said that by the stripes that he took on the cross for me, I was healed. And while you're standing on your faith and telling your friend what the Scripture says, you're also receiving your own strengthening of your faith. You see? See how that works? That's true. You can't be two-faced, double-minded. It's the same thing. You cannot tell the Lord that you believe his word and then go out and talk to all your friends about how you're feeling. You can't do it. You can do it, but the word won't work for you. Unless you really want to feel bad. So you got to stop dramatizing. Here's the scripture for it, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, this is an amazing scripture. Notice this. I have bolded. We. Who does? You, me. We have to demolish arguments and every pretension. A pretension is the assertion of a claim to something. Now, the sickness, the cancer that we have, but that we've now asked the Lord to heal us of, right? We curse it in Jesus' name. We can no longer claim it as ours. It has no right to be in our bodies, not legally. So when those thoughts come into your mind, and they will. Well, you know, the way I feel, there's no way I can be well. No, you have to stop your thoughts right then. When they start to come in and bombard you in negative ways, you have to say no. And then what do? You go back to the scripture. Let's look at our scriptures again. And you say no. This is what I think on. Jesus, in Isaiah 53, took my pain. He bore my suffering. Jesus took all my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that allowed me to have peace was put on him, and by his wounds I was healed. Or however you want to say it. Jesus took my sickness and disease. By his stripes I'm healed. So when the thoughts come, you must replace the thought with the scripture, the word, Jesus. Jesus is the word. He's the scripture. So when the thoughts come, you have to cast them down. And that's what he's telling us here. Notice that in step 3. He says there in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish the arguments. Where are those arguments? In your head, in your mind, in your thoughts. You demolish the arguments and everything, every claim that you have now to that sickness, every claim that you have. A lot of people say, my arthritis, my rheumatoid arthritis, my cancer, my this, my that. Anybody ever claimed to possess something? Yes. Yes, we do. But you can't do that anymore, you see. Why? Because you've made a decision to trust God, and now the scripture is what you put your claim on, and you command that sickness, you tell your problem to leave your body. Step 4, we must keep our minds and understanding, which is our hearts, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, in a state of courage. We have to be brave. We have to have courage. We have to stop being fearful. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Folks, again, we've said this many times. I've got news for you. When you're fearful, that spirit is not from God. When fear comes on you, you have to think, what am I thinking about right now? Because the reason you're fearful is because you're thinking the wrong thoughts. And who controls your thoughts? You do. We demolish the arguments. We demolish every high thing, all the pretensions, anything that we have claimed to accept as our own that is against the scripture. And we take it captive to the obedience of Christ is what it says. We take it captive to the word. We take it captive to the scripture. Because Jesus is the word. So when we read the scripture, we're literally reading about Jesus. Jesus is the word. Step 5, we must allow patience to develop in us and make us mature so that we learn to operate through it on a regular basis. If you choose not to be patient, then we are prideful, doing it on our own without God. Look, folks, you have to decide to be patient, honestly. If you want God to heal you, you know, the scripture says to lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. When you choose to believe God's word, you instantly become in recovery mode. How long that recovery is sometimes is based on you, what you're saying, what you're believing. So you have to be courageous. You have to stand for the word. It's not easy sometimes to stand in the word of God when you're feeling awful symptoms in your body. Anybody ever been there? You feel awful symptoms and you get a little scared, don't you? But you can't. You have to command that spirit of fear to leave you in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, when I was sick and I had some drastic symptoms that were very scary, but that spirit of fear came around me. I felt him. I sensed him. He was there wanting to grip me with death. And I had to still stand up against it and say, no, in the name of Jesus, you will not. And you know what? When you use his name and you stand against fear, guess what? Fear has to leave. It has to leave. Your authority comes in Jesus' name. Speak in his name and you have authority. It's not about you. It's about his name that you're using. You see? There's a difference. You're using the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, body, you are well. I command you, cancer, to leave in Jesus' name. Why? Because Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness on the cross. By his wounds, I was healed. That's why I get to use his name, because by his wounds, I was healed. You see? So we have to be brave. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And you notice in this scripture, NIV is timid. God did not make us timid, but he gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Step 5, again, we must allow patience to develop. Decide to be patient. James 1:4, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Again, these are things that just to look back at, you have to learn to be patient. Just be patient. Settle in for the long haul. Don't just try it. Make it part of your life. Don't put a timeline on it, but command it. Commanding yourself well, you can actually speed things up. That's based on your faith level. Number 6, don't be spiritually lazy. When you are spiritually lazy, you stop trying to understand the word of God or putting it into practice. And this is a perfect scripture. Stop being lazy. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, what? You're only fooling yourself. You're only fooling yourself. So I'm going to use this example here. I got a report from the doctor. He says, I've got cancer. I take the scripture. Lord, you said in 1 Peter 2:24 that by your stripes I was healed. I choose to believe that. cancer, now I'm speaking to the problem, cancer in my body, I command that you leave my flesh in Jesus' name. Every time I get a symptom, guess what I do? No, cancer in my body, I command you leave my flesh in Jesus' name. In fact, when you get a symptom, that's your reminder to tell your problem to leave. Again, we don't go to everyone around us and talk about our problems. We tell our problem to leave in the name of Jesus. Let's use another example. How about depression? Lord, you took sickness and you said that the joy of the Lord was my strength. And so I command that the depression leave me now in Jesus' name, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now when people come up to you and your friends come up to you say and ask you how you're doing, I'm doing great because the joy of the Lord is my strength. See? See how it works? All right, let's take our second example, which is financial increase. Financial increase. Number two, we get this scripture, right? The financial increase, we take the seed. The seed is the word of God, and then we follow the steps. Genesis 8:22. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I'm starting with that because here's the bottom line when it comes to our money. We live in a principle of multiplicity. God has principles that he's placed on this earth. He said here, while the earth remains, he made a covenant with Noah. He said, as long as this earth remains, we will live under the seed time and harvest principle. This is the principle of multiplicity. This is how it works. Now, if I wanted to get on this roof here and jump off, I'd fall, wouldn't I? I might want to believe I could fly all day long, but I'm not going to fly, am I? Why? Because God has a principle on this earth, and that principle is called gravity, right? We know that in the center of the earth, we have a magnetic pull, and that magnetic pull keeps us grounded. God has us on the earth instead of floating out. That's a principle. The seed time and harvest is a principle. If we take a seed, we take an apple seed, we plant it in the ground, what do we get? An apple tree. If we plant a tomato seed, we get a tomato plant, right? We know those obvious seeds, but other seeds that we can plant. In fact, I want to read something very briefly to you. In Galatians 5, 14 and 15, here's a seed. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to this. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. If you bite and devour others, you will be consumed by others. You know why? Because that's a seed. Everything's a seed. Your emotions are a seed. If you are continually angry and you are plant anger into the seed of your life, guess what you're going to get? Other people are going to be angry at you. Like begets like. Every seed, and Jesus said this and the Lord says it. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, every seed produces after itself. So now we're going to use the less obvious seeds. Money is a seed. And again, this is a principle that God put on this earth, the seed time and harvest principle. So let's look at these scriptures real briefly. The first one is Genesis. We notice the principle comes out of that. Luke 6:38, Jesus speaking. I'm going to only show you the New Testament scriptures. Jesus said, give. And when you do, guess what? It will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. There you go. This is the multiplicity, seed of multiplicity he's telling us. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. Paul is telling us, now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, we need to understand, when you give, you don't give out of begrudgingly. You give because, as a believer, you want to. That's the reason you give. And don't give if you don't give for that reason. Look at this 2 Corinthians 8:12. It says, for if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. So these are three scriptures to look at. Again, this is the principle of multiplicity. If you plant a seed into the ground, you're going to get a harvest. Notice there in 2 Corinthians 9, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If a farmer takes a bunch of corn and he plants just one row, but he's got a whole field, he's got 20 rows left, how many rows of corn will he get? One row. You are blessed according to what you give, folks. So if you have a need and you need financial increase, what do? You plant a seed. So here's what Mark and I do. We plant seeds all the time. We plant seeds in this ministry, by the way. We've talked to some of you about it. We tithe from here all that we get to the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. And they recognize us, and they're on the ground there, and they're helping the Christians, helping the Jews in the area, just showing them the love of Christ. And so when we take our seed, and we tithe, but we give offerings too, tithes and offerings. So we'll take it, and we say, Lord, you take your seed in your mind. Put it in your hand. Put it up before the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm giving this to you because you said in Luke 6:38, Lord, that when I give, it shall be given to me. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into my lap, Lord. And I have needs. I need my what? I need money for this, or I need money for that. Go ahead and give that seed an assignment. Talk it over with the Lord. Plant the seed now. Now, this is an actual tangible thing that you can see. You plant your seed, and now what do? You water it. Thank you, Lord, that I've given. And when you think about that seed, thank you that you're multiplying it back to me, Lord. And then you expect it to happen. You don't give up. You don't go to your friends and complain about how you're running out of money and you're low on money and you don't have anything. Again, you use these same six steps. Go through the steps. Trust God. Now you've planted a seed. Guess what? Your increase will come. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it. He said when you give, it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the same measure that you deal out benefits to others, guess what? It'll be measured back to you. You cannot outgive God. It's a principle. And this is the thing we need to understand as the body of Christ. It's not a compulsion to force you to do something. It's the principle that works in this earth. It's the only way that it works. If you don't plant a seed, then you got nothing to work with, you see? Because it's all a principle. Think about a farmer. Think about seeds that are planted. And think about seeds. Is the word of God is a seed. So words are seeds. Your attitude is a seed. The way you think are seeds. The way you treat others are seeds. However you treat others, you will be treated that same way. Principle number two, financial increase. And finally, example number three, and a lot of people need this one too, which is peace of mind. Notice there on the second page, peace of mind. We got to get the scripture, follow the steps, right? I just took a couple of scriptures. There's so many about peace of mind. But Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, be quiet before God, for from him, God, comes my hope. The reason I like this one is, guess what? I'm telling my mind to be quiet. Why? Because God's my hope. Hope means expectation. God is your expectation. Everything that you're going through, he's already handled it. If you let him. If you let him. And then here's Isaiah 26:3 again, Isaiah prophesying. He says, "You, God, will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you." God will keep your mind dependent on Him if you trust in Him. How do you trust in Him? You give your situation to Him every day. You quote His scripture based on your situation. You take the scripture. I've got three examples. You can go home and think these through because you're going to need to do that. You're not going to get it all here. You have to go home and think about this. Take the steps. And guess what? You have to practice this. You have to put it to work. So if you want what God wants for you, you have to do that. So now let's just take, as we wrap up, I want to just talk for a minute about your peace of mind. When you get anxiety about something, that means you're worried about it. You're fretting about something, right? What is it you're fretting about? This is what I do. I say, well, I have to think. I have to ask my mind, why am I fretting? And usually it's something I'm worried about that I haven't turned over to the Lord. So what you do is if you get worrisome, if you get fretful about something, find out what it is, first of all, because you'll know what it is because you're thinking about it. You see? Get in touch with yourself. In touch with your emotions. When you feel an emotion and it's not a positive emotion, stop right there and think about, what am I thinking? Because I already know, I can see the thoughts the Lord's showing me. And guess what? They're all a big lie. The Lord wants you happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Whatever your situation, your problem is, whatever it is you're thinking about, there's a scripture for it to help you. Turn it over to the Lord. Follow those steps. Trust God, and you will get rid of that negativity in your life. You'll get rid of that depression. So you take that thought, and I say, no, I won't think that. No, that's a lie. Or I'll say, if I think about it, and it's like, maybe I'm worried about getting old. Okay? Anybody been there? Guess what? We all get there. And you know what I do? I say, Lord, I don't want to get old. But I'm turning this over to you right now. Because I don't want to worry about this. It hurts. And I know that you don't want me to worry about this. And you know what? Honestly, God will stop your aging. Only believe. So worrying will make you older. That's right. So you turn that over to the Lord, right? Discuss it with Jesus. Turn it over to Him. Then say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And guess what? Within 5 minutes, literally, you'll feel better. See, we're not taking everything to the Lord. That's a simple thing. How many of you have taken that to the Lord? If you have, you feel better, right? You get rid of it, don't you? So it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's something you're worried about, how you look, okay? Turn that over to the Lord. I don't know how it works, but somehow you start feeling better. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be big or small or little. You're worried about your sickness? Again, turn it over to the Lord and stand on His word. I don't care if it's a symptom. Let me tell you what, I'd be in a wheelchair. I may not even be here. That's how sick I was. I couldn't even breathe, literally, for a whole year. So thank you, Lord, I can breathe now, and I'm well and whole. But you know what? I had to fight, and this is what I want to end with. This is what I want to end with. The only fight we have to fight is the good fight of faith. We live in a fallen world, folks. We all know that, right? We're in a fallen world. But you have been plucked out of this world. You have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So you have to change your mentality. Your kingdom life is all up here in your mind and in your heart. You can be so at peace and so at joy at all times of your life if you keep yourself focused on the kingdom, that it doesn't matter what's around you. It can't touch you. It cannot touch you. It only touches you if you allow it. It's all up to you. And then on top of that, we have eternal life. We live in forever. and the most glorious, the beauty of such a kingdom that we don't even know how to describe the great, wonderful splendor of what we're about to all step into. So we have no reason to be unhappy or worried or fearful or fretful about anything. You have all the keys you need, and we are done with this series, but you've got everything you need through these steps. Go and apply these steps. Take it to other things that you have. To your children? Anybody worried about their kids? Have you turned it over? Cast all your cares on Him. The whole of your anxieties. Everything you worry and fret about on Him. He will take care of your children. He'll fix them, because you know what? You can't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is so rich. You have given us everything that we need to obtain life and to have life more abundantly. Father, my prayer is that everyone that hears the sound of my voice will diligently fight the good fight of faith and use these principles and stand on Your Word against everything that they come up against, big, small, or otherwise. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name.